Some translation. Who asked him to come here, this son of a kept mistress? He is so crooked that he spies in the interest of the enemy against whose support he has grown up. Toss him out of the palace immediately and leave him with only his breath. Srila Prabhupada's purport. When getting married, the Kshatriya kings would take on several other youthful girls along with the married princess. These girl attendants of the king were known as dasis, or attendant mistresses. By intimate association with the king, the dasis would get sons. Such sons were called dasi putras. They had no claim to a royal position, but they would get maintenance and other facilities just like princesses. Vidura was the son of such a dasi, and he was thus not counted among the Kshatriyas. King Dhritarashtra was very affectionate towards his younger dasi putra brother, Vidura. And Vidura was a great friend and philosophical advisor to Dhritarashtra. Duryodhana knew very well that Vidura was a great soul and well-wisher, but unfortunately, he used strong words to hurt his innocent uncle. Duryodhana not only attacked Vidura's birth, but he also called him an infidel because he seemed to support the cause of Yudhisthira, whom Duryodhana considered his enemy. He desired that Vidura be immediately put out of the palace and deprived of all his possessions. If possible, he would have liked him caned until he was left without nothing but his breath. He charged that Vidura was a spy of the Pandavas because he advised King Dhritarashtra in their favor. Such is the situation of palace life and the intricacies of diplomacy that even a faultless person like Vidura could be charged with something abominable and punished. Vidura was struck with wonder at such unexpected behavior from his nephew Duryodhana, and before anything actually happened, he decided to leave the palace for good. Omagyatmanandasyadinanjanasalakaya. Sulamanatam yena tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manobishnam stapitam yena bhutale. Svayam rupa gadamayam dadati swabhadantikam. Vanchakalpaturubhyastya kripa sindhu bhaeva cha patitananam bhavanebhyo. Vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda. Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasari Gaur Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama. I need to just know what time the class finishes. So in this verse, Vidura he's being penalized unnecessarily. Madhura's fault actually was not that he was the son of a kept mistress or that he had done anything wrong. His only fault was that actually he was a devotee of Krishna. Because he liked Krishna and he liked associating with devotees. So Prabhupada mentions in his purport, such is the situation of palace life and the intricacies of diplomacy that even a faultless person like Vidura is condemned. So we can read through the pages of the Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita and all our other literatures that we have, as devotees, must make distinctions in our life. It's not that we are making distinctions, but Krishna is making them for us. That there is a right and there's a wrong. There are devotees and there are non-devotees. Devotees are like swan-like persons, and non-devotees are like crow-like persons. These are Krishna's distinctions. And we ourselves must understand the difference between devotee life and non-devotee life. So from this verse, this is what I see in the verse mainly, that the problem is that Vidura is a devotee. And we see this, you know, in history, how there's this constant battle or aversion between the devotees and the non-devotees. Although it seems that the devotee life and the non-devotee life is similar, in many ways it is similar, because they eat and we eat. Yeah, they drink and we drink. They work and we work. They smoke. We smoke incense sticks. They have fine arts. We have fine arts. You know, you can go on and on and on. What we are, the similarities between the devotees and the non-devotees. However, there's this specific dividing line which separates us. And that dividing line is, dare I say it, the demons try to destroy Vedic culture, just like when the first British colonel was sent to India. He was sent to India to see what was actually going on there. So he spent 1 year observing the lifestyle of India. And after 1 year, he came back and he gave his report. And what was that report? Well, in India, there are no thieves. Everyone has their door unlocked. In India, everyone lives together as a united family, in harmony, and they're all very happy. In India, there are more cows than people. In India, the educational system is based on Vedic principles and lifestyle. And like all good things. And then they sat around a table discussing how they were going to destroy everything. And they did. They came, first of all, and they attacked the educational system. And they told that your religion is mythology. There's no way that a seven-year-old boy can lift up a mountain that takes all day to circumambulate. And they severely attacked the Vedic system. And they were agents, literally agents of Maya. However, the devotees, they tried to uphold Vedic traditions by serving Lord Krishna. And in this class, I would like to offer some stories, some songs, some examples, some riddles, some poems, and just to highlight the foundation of these two differences between devotee life and non-devotee life. So Krishna actually begins 5,000 years ago to make this distinction, and he gives a clear analysis of what a demon is. And I'll read these verses from the Bhagavad Gita. Those who are demoniac do not know what is to be done and what is not to be done. Neither cleanliness, nor proper behavior, nor truth is found in them. They say that this world is unreal, with no foundation, no God in control. They say it is produced of sex desire and has no other cause other than lust. Following such conclusions, the demoniac, who are lost to themselves and who have no intelligence, engage in unbeneficial, horrible works meant to destroy the world. And we can see this today, that practically every activity is a destructive activity meant to destroy. Whether we go to the doctor who wants to kill us, or we go to Tesco's to purchase some products, they're all designed to give us ill health, ill being. And as devotees, we go into these places making a clear distinction of what I will accept and what I won't accept. Srila Prabhupada himself, he called the leaders of society rogues and thieves. When a devotee asked Prabhupada, shouldn't we put a devotee to be politician and ultimately become leader of the country? And Prabhupada's reply was, what can one man do among so many demons? He will not have a chance. As far as the scientist, Prabhupada would say, the only missing link is my boot in your face. They're always talking about missing link. Of course, he didn't say this publicly, but amongst the association of devotees, he said that. Missing link? The only missing link is my boot in your face. He said the missing link is the Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam covers every single aspect of life. And if you want to find a missing link, you'll find it within the pages of the Bhagavatam. Prabhupada tells a story of a jackal who one day was walking on a line, a clothesline, and he fell off the clothesline. And he landed in a bucket, but in that bucket it was full of dye. So when he came out of the bucket, he was a different color. And one day he went to the jungle, and into the forest, and all the other animals, they've noticed him. Oh, look at that species. We've never seen him before. And they went and inquired. They sent the lion. And Mr. Lion asked the jackal, "Who are you? We have never seen your species before." And the jackal said, "I have been sent by God." "Oh, you have been sent by God. Well, then we must give you a special seat." And they gave him a special seat and they worshipped him every day. Until one day, many other jackals came in the area and they started making their jackal noise. We have seen in Mayapur, when one jackal starts, all jackals, they follow in suit. So when the jackal sent by God suddenly heard all the other jackals making their jackal sound, he couldn't help it but suddenly make a jackal sound. And then all the animals in the forest, "Oh, you're a jackal. Get down off that seat." So Prabhupada was giving the story and he compared it to the modern day leaders, that they make some show of piety and kindness just to get some election, of being, to get elected. And as soon as they're elected, they open their mouth and reveal their real intentions. And then it's not long before they pull him down off the seat. "You know, you're not qualified. We don't want you." And it's going on and on, leader after leader. Everyone nowadays is getting so tired of this style of leadership that they're demonstrating in the streets and protesting that this is not correct. There's another story that Prabhupada told in regards to a camel and a scorpion. So a camel was once about to cross a river and he was approached by a scorpion. And the scorpion asked the camel, "Can you also take me across the river? Can you take me on your back?" And the camel said, "Well, why should I do that? You'll only bite me." And the scorpion said, "No, I'm an ethical scorpion. I have, you know, ethical principles. And I wouldn't do such a thing to you." So then the camel said, "Okay, jump on my back." And the camel started moving across the river. And right in the middle of the river, the scorpion bit the camel. And of course, then the camel couldn't swim anymore because he was affected so much by the bite. So he turned to the scorpion and said, "What did you do that for? Now we're both finished." And what did the scorpion said? "I'm sorry, it's just my nature. I could not resist." Yeah. So Prabhupada gives the similarity that although atheists try to live an ethical life, because their concepts and their meanings of life is so limited to dull matter, any ethical behavior they adopt is selfishly motivated and quickly discarded. Generally, he said, all so-called principles in the mode of passion and ignorance may be there for some time, but because there is no moral instructions within their life, they eventually, you know, show the real face. And And there's an interesting verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam 8:25 where it's explained about lies. Now, lies, how effective lies are within this world. And it's a statement by Mother Earth. Oh, actually, she's not making the statement, but the statement's about how Mother Earth feels. There is nothing more sinful than untruthfulness. Because of this, Mother Earth once said, "I can bear any heavy things except a person who is a liar." And in Prabhupada's purport, he writes, "On the surface of the earth, there are many great mountains and oceans that are very, very heavy. And Mother Earth has no difficulty carrying them. But she feels very much overburdened when she carries even one person who is a liar." You may know the story of the tailor who went one day to the king and said, "I'm a tailor and I want to make you some very special clothes so that you, not only you will appreciate, but everyone in your kingdom will appreciate them. And if anyone doesn't, they would be considered fool number one." So the king was intrigued. "Well, okay, so when you've completed the garments, please let me know." And after some time, he contacted the king, "Your garments are ready. I'm coming tomorrow to give you your new set of garments." So when he arrived, he gave him a box. He told him, "Now, your garments are inside. Please go to your chamber and change your clothes. The citizens are waiting for you. They want to see your new clothes." So when the king went into the chamber, he opened the box and there was nothing there. But then he was considering, "Well, I don't want to feel like a fool, so I better anyway change into these new clothes," which he did. And then he started parading in the streets. And no one in the streets wanted to also consider the king or the clothes, consider that the king was naked and that he had no clothes on. So everyone praised the king, and there was trumpets and there was flowers being showered. And it was a big jubilant sound and festivity. "Oh, look at the king's new clothes." But then suddenly one small boy said very loudly, "The king has no clothes on." And when he said that, everyone looked, "Oh, a child said that? Wow, whatever a child said is usually true. Let me look again. Oh, maybe the king doesn't have any clothes on." This is a very good story because it reminds me of Srila Prabhupada and how, you know, he came to this Western world which was full of lies. Lies after lies after lies after lies. What about some more lies, 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 lies? From the landing on the moon to the carton of juice that says this is 100% pure. It is all lies. But everyone accepts it. "Oh, this is 100% pure? It may be not, but anyway, I'll take it anyway." And Prabhupada, he came right in the midst of the materialistic society in the grossest areas to present the truth. And sometimes devotees ask me, "You know, what is it about Prabhupada that you like the most?" And it's a very difficult question to answer because everything Prabhupada did was so sweet and perfect. But when I contemplate on this question, what comes to my mind mostly is that I feel so fortunate that Prabhupada has given us the truth. And that with that truth, we are able to distinguish right from wrong. Or be able to distinguish from reality and illusion. For the welfare of all, as the Bhagavatam says. So we are very lucky to be devotees and having given this knowledge. What is the material world in the 21st century? I picked this up from somewhere. I thought it was quite good. It's funny too. You may like to laugh or you may not, but I thought it was funny. Our communication, wireless. Our phones, cordless. Our cooking, fireless. Our food, fatless. Our sweets, sugarless. Our labor, effortless. Our relations, fruitless. Our attitude, careless. Our feelings, heartless. Our politics, shameless. Our education, worthless. Our mistakes, countless. Our arguments, baseless. Our youth, jobless. Our ladies, topless. Our boss, brainless. Our jobs, thankless. Our needs, endless. Our situation, hopeless. Our salaries, less and less. Ha 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 ha. I thought it was funny. This is a song, I mean, in the early 80s, some devotees, they formed a reggae band, and they made an album, and there were many songs, and the lyrics of the songs were so, so good that I had to compile them into a file. So I'm going to narrate one of these songs, and it gives a clear description of modern day society. It's called The Vile Society. Is that okay? I can read this? Say yes, Maharaj. Okay. You're still there. Wow. So this is a very interesting piece of music. It was really nicely recorded. It was reggae. It was like a good beat. But the words are absolutely finger-pointing the materialistic society. They're trying to hang their hat where their hand can't reach. And those who don't know nothing, they're trying to teach. Their hearts are hard like stone, yet they pretend to weep. And those who don't sow nothing, they're trying to reap. They kill their children before they're born, and they kill an elephant just to get the horn. They don't care anymore what they eat, and they will slaughter the animals just to get the meat. They're intoxicating themselves to death, and smoke and fire has become their breath. The brain is now like a gaping hole, and they don't know nothing about the spirit soul. Now the air is nothing but factory smoke, yet everybody is going broke. The school is just like a slaughterhouse where they love to read about Mickey Mouse. And the women all want to be the men, and the men can only remember when. And the children leave when they learn to talk, to walk, and with obscene language they learn to talk. History repeats itself, they say, and there is an end to the longest day. So don't feel bad when the axe comes down, because you wouldn't know if to smile or frown. No matter what you may say or do, you can only get what's coming to you. And the only way you can change your fate is by going back to your spiritual state. So when you see that thing start smoking, you know it's that fire ain't far behind. There won't be time for turning back when the big wheel starts to grind. For when the human being starts sinking, when the standard gets too low, such a violent society ain't got long to go. Haribo. This is some of Prabhupada's words in regards to human society. He says, we're the only hope for human society to receive real knowledge. And our books are the real thing, are the only real thing. So it may take some time, but one day this rubbish literature, rubbish philosophy, rubbish culture will be replaced. This is my only ambition, that so many people can become enlightened. But they are being deprived of that chance. One day the whole world will appreciate how we have changed the face of the world from darkness to light. We are actually introducing a new style of life and civilization. Everything should be ideal. Others have never dreamt of such civilization, free life, happy life, no anxiety, and hope, great hope, that we are going back home, back to Godhead. By increasing the selling of the books throughout the whole world will become Krishna conscious. All the world is in darkness. The scientists, Darwin, Freud, all in darkness. This is the only institution that is giving some light. You must be convinced of that in your preaching efforts. We have no other business than to make people happy. By book distribution, your country will become happy and prosperous. No cheating, no politics, no personal ambitions, not a tinge of personal sense gratification. This is our mission. So anyway, that's all about the non-devotees and non-devotee qualities. These are some of the qualities of devotees. And I'm taking some parables here from the Bible, which Jesus Christ himself taught to his disciples. And they're very nice parables, which we can relate to in our own Krishna consciousness. Jesus said, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who mistreat you. If anyone strikes you on one cheek, show him the other also. If someone takes away your clothes, let him have your shirt too. Do for others only what you have others do for you. Love your enemies and do good to them, expecting nothing in return. Only then will you have a great reward. Judge not, and you will be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. For the measure you provide will be the measure you get back. When men hate you and neglect and insult you, be glad. When that happens, a great reward will be yours. How terrible when all men speak well of you. Those are some of Jesus' parables, many of them, but these are... There's one story where one sannyas preacher was going from town to town, village to village, and this is in India. And he was about to approach one village, and the head man of the village got all the people together and told them, "The sannyasi is coming today, but don't let him into your house. We don't want him here. So lock your doors, go inside and lock your doors." So then the sannyasi arrived, and he came to the house of the leader of the village. "Oh, Mata, Mata, please give alms." This is what he was calling for. And the leader of the village came running out and started shouting at him. "What do you think you are? You think you're better than anyone else? You're just the same as anyone. Why don't you go and get yourself a good job?" You know, really giving it to him, really heavily. "Why you come here to take our sons and make them your disciples?" And he was really, really angry and bitter words. So at some point he stopped shouting, and the sadhu, he was peaceful. He asked him, "Can I ask a question from you?" And the man said, "What is it you want? And then you go." "Well, my dear sir, my question is, if you purchase something, if you purchase something to give to someone else, but that person refuses the gift, who does the gift belong to?" "Well, of course it belongs to me." And sadhu said, "Yes, you've answered the question correctly. I came to your house today begging alms, but you only gave me abuse, and I decline." There was an interesting question also by Yudhisthira to Bhishmadev when he came before Bhishmadev with many questions about how to be a leader. One of his questions were, if someone is abusing you insistently, even though you try to befriend him, but he still continues belittling you, intimidating you, what should you do? And Bhishmadev said something very similar to this. He said, as long as you don't react, as long as you remain peaceful, as long as you remain yourself, then whatever good qualities your abuser has, it will be given to you. And anything that you have, which you don't need, will be given to him. It's a good way of becoming Krishna conscious. Interesting how the world is full of abusers, and somehow, as devotees, we have to take into consideration that no one really can hurt us. The body can be hurt, our emotions can be hurt, but we, the soul, the self, we cannot be hurt, and we cannot be swayed to any other direction than Krishna consciousness. Oh, I'm going over time here. Can I just finish with one more reggae song? Okay, so this is a good one. It's for the devotees. If you like, you can join in with the chorus. Is that okay? So say after me, come and join the congregation of the chanting of the holy name. You don't need to change your situation. But you'll never, ever be the same. Okay, that's the chorus. And I'll read a verse and we can do the chorus in each one. This is the age, it's the iron age. Everybody's living on an iron wage. Gone are the days of silver and gold. And if you live till 20, you'll be very old. So, come in and join the congregation. It's the chanting of the holy name. You don't need to change your situation. Same. Everybody here can play a part and you'll feel that power within your heart. You don't have to bother what people think because they don't really care if you swim or sink. So, need to change your situation. Very good. You'll feel that, you've got everything to gain and nothing to lose. So I really don't see how you can refuse. There's nothing to pay, it doesn't cost you a cent. You wouldn't even see which way your trouble went. So, that name is going to enter every single home because it's even sweeter than honeycomb. It's got more power than an atom bomb because Goloka is the place where it's coming from. One more time. Holy name, you don't need to change your situation. Okay. Anyway, I had more, but I wanted to read something, the differences between the material world and the spiritual world. That's also really nice. But I'll have to finish here, yes? Yes? Who's in charge? Huh? All right. Have I ever been seen, met?
No, have you avoided not? How could you not be a sentimentalist?
Why should we not be sentimental? Is that your question?
How can we not be?
Well, all these impure emotions come because we are not Krishna conscious. So, nothing wrong with emotions, but impure emotions are something that we overshadow with pure emotions. And that's when, as we become more and more Krishna conscious, we become less sentimental, we become less affected by past traumas. There are also impressions that we have deep inside us from the past. Gradually, the purpose of our activities of chanting and serving is to override all these impurities and become pure. And it works. We have seen it work. And question number two. Only one question. Okay. We'll leave it there then. Thank you so much for your attention. Srila Bhagavatam class ki jai.